Welcome to the Moth Podcast. I'm your host for this week, Angelica Lindsay Ali. There's a lot of different ways humans can be smart. Maybe you're book smart or emotionally intelligent, or maybe you're a jack of all trades or have a green thumb. Our stories this week are about street smarts, that certain knack for thinking on your feet and getting creative when the going gets tough. First up this week is Michelle Woods. Michelle told this at a Moth Story Slam in Sydney, Australia, where the theme of the night was pressure. Here's Michelle, live at the Moth.
Hello. It's 2008, and I'm married to a shepherd, and I'm living in a little island off the west coast of Scotland. It's staggeringly beautiful. Only one problem is the locals. I was under a lot of pressure to fit in and be accepted and not seen as some Irish Aussie blow-in. I had a very important job to do that day. My husband was away on the mainland at the dentist, and I had one job to do that day. We'd managed to flog Froak, our rampaging ram, for the princely sum of 300 quid to Donald McDonald on the neighboring island. True, it's all true. And all I had to do was just hand over Froak. He'd be contained in his little frank in the front garden, and I had to hand over the ram, take the money. What could possibly go wrong? Flushed with confidence, popped down the village to buy a pint of milk to go with the scones I'd made to impress Donald with my croft wife skills. And as I pulled into the top of the driveway, just taking in the scene, my heart stopped. What did I see but Froak gambling, yes, gambling like a spring lamb in the huge front macker, instead of safely contained in the little frank in the little front garden all ready for Donald McDonald. 30 minutes I had. So I sped down the driveway, ditched the car, ran into the bar, grabbed a bucket of feed. Now, if there's one thing Froak cannot resist, it's molasses-covered nuts. Now, not the molasses-covered nuts of his fellow sheep. No, no, no. Little molasses-covered balls of protein. He will flatten anyone and anything to get to those nuts, including me. So I thought, no, no, big time to just, you know, knuckle under, you can do this, you can do this. So my evil plan is to scatter, like Hansel and Gretel, a little trail of sheep nuts from the big field through the little cottage gate into the little cottage garden, where then Donald McDonald and I will be able to catch him a bit easier. I thought, you know, this is going to happen. Scattered the nuts, and then I opened the gate and I squatted down behind the gate to hide, and I left the bucket there. And my cunning plan was, have him munch his way up, come through the gate. Once the head's in the bucket, I'll kick the gate shut, and there we'll be. So I'm crouched behind the gate. I'm thinking, I'm university educated. This dumb ram's no match for me. I'll show these villagers. And yeah, hear him crunch, 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 crunch. And he's just about to come through the gate when I happen to glance up to my right and I notice I've left the big gate open that goes up the driveway and down to the village. Change of plan, I kick the gate shut and slam, and suddenly Froak looks up and realizes there's now a gate between him and the hallowed big bucket of nuts. He's raging. He starts scraping the ground with his hoof. I think I can see steam coming out of his nostrils. And I fancy I can hear him say, "Well, girly girl, you think you're going to take me on?" I get up off my knees to go walk to shut the big gate, and I think, Christ, I've got to get to the mainland more often. And I turn around to saunter to the gate. Out the corner of my eye, that's when I see him launch his 100-kilogram carcass over the gate and over me. And it all happens in slow motion. First of all, the little hairy front hoofs go past my ears, and then his oily undercarriage through my hair. And then the sun is blotted out. These two enormous balls come towards me, but I whip my face to the side, like that. And then reflexively, I grab onto those two rapidly disappearing ankles. I don't know why, but I just did, the pressure. And then, woof, we cut back to real time and slap. Lawn, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is when he starts to run. He starts running, and I'm being towed behind like a rag doll. He takes me over grassy tussocks, rabbit holes, scattered sheep shit, you name it, he does it. And I think, I'm not letting go! And that's when I see the gravel drive come into vision, and I realise I'm about to have a very permanent, very painful breast reduction. And as I'm trying to lift myself up, I glance under my armpit, I look out across the sound, and I see a little orange boat going by. And it can only mean one damning thing. It is the orange rubber speedboat of Donald McDonald zipping down the sound, meaning he'll be up on the borrowed quad bike and trailer to collect his ram in 5 minutes. And I'm just beside myself. I've got to do something. And that's when I have a flash of Crocodile Dundee's seminal death roll with that crocodile. And so I fling myself to the right, and we roll over and over and over, like I saw him do to that crocodile. And the look on Froke's face is priceless. The little shit is winded, and it's the only gap I need. So I leap on him, straddle him, pin him down on the ground by his horns, and I look into his roomy yellow eyes, and I go, I may only be an incomer, but you today, Froke, you're an outgoer. And at that precise moment, in buzzes Donald McDonald on his quad bike, and I look up and go, ah, hello, Donald, you're here. I thought I'd just get Froke out the fank for you so we'd have time to go in for a cuppa and some scones before you head back.
That was Michelle Woods. Up next this week is Burundi Burundi. Just a heads up, Burundi uses an alias for one of his friends in the story, and midway through, he mixes up the fake name for another. Neither are his friend's real name, so we left them in. Burundi told this story at a Moth Story Slam in Seattle, where the theme of the night was bamboozled. Here's Burundi, live at the Moth.
Hi.
Hi.
Perfect height. So my name is Burundi, and I originally came from Uganda. Some Ugandans. I came here for college. I was the first one in my family to go to college. I graduated, and then we had the graduation. It was a good time, parents, friends, and we're like, yeah, this is fun. And then graduation was over, and it was time to look for my first job as an adult. I had friends who had jobs straight even before graduation. I was not one of them. But I was a good student. I was in student government. I was in club soccer. I was part of the debate team. I graduated with a 3.9 GPA. Still couldn't get a job. Because every interview ended with the question, are you authorized to work in America? Yeah, we like you, but. So that was tough. I searched for months and months. And then until one day, I got a phone call. It was a recruiter. Her name was Shelly. She was like, hey, I found your resume on LinkedIn. We like you. And we think you'll be a good fit. I was like, excited, yes. And she's like, you know what? Can you interview? I was like, yeah, I'm ready. So I went and interviewed the next day. I crushed it. She called me the next day. She's like, you know what? You got the job. And they're willing to sponsor your papers. So excited. I called my friends. We had a big party. Yeah, we did everything. Beers, liquor, big bongs. But then the next day, I got a call from Shelly, and she was like, I left out one detail. You have to sign your contract, but before that, drug test. I know. I did some quick research online. And the next day, I went in for my first drug test. At the reception was this lady, she was a white lady. She was about maybe in her 50s. She spoke with a Midwestern accent. And her assistant, who, the pee cup lady, she's the one that gave you the cup. I showed up, they're like, "You here to pee?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm here to pee." I took the test the first time. My results came up inconclusive. 2 days later, they called me back. They're like, "You got to pee in the cup again." I did it again. Results came back inconclusive. I guess my detox regimen was getting in the way of things. Shelly was getting suspicious. And I was getting desperate. I needed this job. I did. So I had to go back a third time. And my good friend Chad drove me to the drug test. And Chad is one of those good friends. Like he's he works out a lot. He eats kale all the time. Yeah. And he's black. So we pull up to the parking lot. And Chad places his hand on my shoulder and he's like, "Good luck." And I was like, "Chad, I don't think I can do this. I need your help." And he's like, "My help?" I was like, "Yeah, I need you to pee for me." And he was like, "Are you crazy?" And I was like, "Yo, I've been here twice. I know the people that work here. I think you could do this." After a lot of negotiation, I give him my ID and he walks into the building. And I waited in the parking lot. I was like, "Oh my God. I think either Ed is gonna walk up to this car, or Ed and the feds are gonna walk up to this car." I waited 20 minutes. Ed was nowhere to be seen. 30 minutes, no Ed. I got desperate. I got out of the car and I walked towards the building. I was gonna investigate. And right there and then, Ed walked up to me with a big smile on his face. I got my first job.
That was Birungi Birungi. Birungi is a Ugandan comedian based out of Seattle, Washington. Although he initially moved to America for college, he quickly found a different way to fall into debt: stand-up comedy. With his brand of observational and culturally aware humor, he's hit stages all around the country. He's also had the privilege of opening for one of the original kings of comedy, D.L. Hughley, at a sold-out show in Seattle. Most recently, he was featured on the Best of the Fest list at the Burbank Comedy Festival. That's all for this week. Until next time, from all of us here at The Moth, have a story-worthy week.
Angelica Lindsay Ali is a native of Detroit and a die-hard Afrofuturist. She lives with her husband and four children in Phoenix, where she's also the host of The Moth Story Slam. This episode of The Moth Podcast was produced by me, Julia Purcell, with Sarah Austin Jeunesse and Sarah Jane Johnson. The rest of The Moth's leadership team includes Catherine Burns, Sarah Haberman, Jennifer Hickson, Meg Bowles, Kate Tellers, Jennifer Birmingham, Marina Cluche, Suzanne Rust, Brandon Grant, Inga Glodowski, and Aldi Kaza. Moth stories are true as remembered and affirmed by storytellers. For more about our podcast, information on pitching your own story, and everything else, go to our website, themoth.org. The Moth Podcast is presented by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, helping make public radio more public at prx.org.